Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the people praise you, God. May all the people praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the people praise you, God. May all the people praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Amen.
Well, what to speak to you on a harvest morning? Perhaps you've kind of been second-guessing on the way. Will it be the parable of the sower? Will it be the story of the loaves and the fish given by the boy in the feeding of the 5,000? Well, I was quite desperate not to come out with the same old clichés at another harvest. Not that there is nothing we can learn from those stories, you understand that. But I was thinking about the stories behind some of our well-known brands, and that's why we had that quiz. And I came across the story particularly of Colgate. What's in a name? What's in the name Colgate? So we're going to learn about Colgate this morning. who Mr. Colgate was, and what kind of inspired him in his life. We started last week, as we began to look at Mark, at the challenge to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I thought that actually this example of William Colgate might help us to just practically look at someone who followed the Lord. Our news this week has been full of the collapse of Thomas Cook. And actually Thomas Cook was also a good Christian man who sought to provide affordable trips and holidays for the common man. So he'd probably be a bit despairing what's happened to his company today. But actually, if you look back through history, there are a lot of the people and the brands that we know, a lot of those were started by Christians who trusted God. Colgate is a household name, something most of us, I suspect, are familiar with at least twice a day, hopefully. But behind that name is a remarkable story. William Colgate was born in 1783 in Hollingbourne in Kent. His father was a farmer by trade and was known for his sharp mind and also his strong political convictions. In fact, the father, Robert, had been quite outspoken in support of America gaining its independence from Britain. And this landed him in a lot of hot bother with British politicians. And one night there was a knock on the door in the middle of the night. And one of Robert Colgate's friends was the then Prime Minister, William Pitt. And he'd sent a message to Robert Colgate saying that the Colgates needed to flee England as soon as possible. If they remained, then Robert might end up in prison or even face death for his comments. What some people meant for harm, God intended for good, and God was going to do something through this family. It reminds me of the story of Joseph, you know, where Joseph is sold as a slave into Egypt, and his brothers meant that for harm, didn't they? That they wanted him out of the way, but God had a plan. God intended it for good, and that's the same here with the Colgates. So at just age 15, William sailed with his family to America, and they settled in Hartford in Maryland. And William's father formed a partnership with another man, and they started to manufacture candles and soap. But despite the hard work, their company failed, and Robert returned to farming. But William, the son, liked the idea of this business and became convinced that he could actually be more successful. And so within a year, he started his own soap company. But again, it failed. They really didn't have the capital, lack of investment, whatever. The company failed. It was then that William Colgate met a canal boat captain who told him this. He said this. He said, "William, give your heart to Jesus Christ and then give back to God what belongs to him as he blesses you. Make an honest soap. Give a full pound in weight." He said, "Someone is going to be the leading soap maker in New York, and it might be you, William." You see, for many years, people have made their own soap in their own houses, but there was a gap in the market for a quality manufactured soap, and Colgate hoped to slip into it. Sorry, that's a joke. As the young William studied his Bible, he came across a passage that was to change his life. We're going to read that passage now. And it's particularly the latter verses that so impacted him. This is from Genesis chapter 28, not something we probably would necessarily relate to harvest, but it was to have an impact on him. "Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set." Remember, Jacob had fled from his family because he'd stolen his brother's birthright. All right. "So taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you.' When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it.' He was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.' Early the next morning, Jacob took a stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a tenth.'" Let me draw a few things out of this passage. First of all, there was this vision of the ladder up to heaven. And in this, God confirmed his promise to Jacob, a promise he'd made to his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac, that he was going to give this land to Jacob's and his family and his descendants as an inheritance. Secondly, God had promised Jacob he would make have descendants as numerous as the dust of the earth. So there needed to be a promise of a wife and children there, doesn't there? And thirdly, that all the families of the earth would be blessed through his seed. And that's a singular seed, singular, that from him was coming a seed. And this pointed to the fact that Jesus would come as a direct descendant to be a saving blessing to the world. And the ladder joined heaven to earth. And that, of course, is what this seed Jesus would do. He would join heaven to earth for all who believed and trusted in him. He would be the ladder to heaven. Can I ask this morning, is Jesus Christ your ladder to heaven? Because he is the only way that we can have access to a future with God. And God promised Jacob, I am with you. He offered his protection. I will keep you wherever you go. And he promised, I will bring you back to this land. And Jacob was so moved by the experience that he made that place a place of worship. And he called it Bethel, which means the house of God. And Jacob then made a vow. If God continued to meet all his needs, brought him back to his father's house in peace. Remember how he robbed his brother of his inheritance and was fleeing into exile. God, if you'll do all these things for me, then God, I'm going to honour you and I'm going to give you back a tenth of everything that you blessed me with. And there is that principle in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, of giving back a tenth of what God blesses us with. Many of us as Christians take that principle that when our salary check comes in, we give God back a tenth to him. And actually, when we do that, God actually honours us. We might think, how can I possibly afford that? but you give it, and it's incredible how God gives back to you in incredible ways. In 1804, William Colgate was employed by another soap company as an apprentice, so he learned how to do it even a bit better. And 2 years later, he went on his own again and established William Colgate and Company. But Colgate did not forget his God, and he attributed the success of his new company to walking with God. In line with the Bible, Colgate gave 10% of everything he made to God. And this was used in the church. And he soon actually became one of the most prosperous businessmen in New York. He married in 1811, and God gave him 11 children. He continued to always give generously out of the abundance that God blessed him with. And that's the principle of harvest, isn't it? To give back to God out of the abundance. When we recognize that actually everything that we have ultimately comes from God. And Colgate went on giving and giving to missionary societies, to schools, and he gave to a college called Madison College in Hamilton, New York. And such was his generosity that the college today is called Colgate University. As his company continued to prosper and God gave him more, he went on beyond giving 10%. He started giving 20% and then 30%. And in fact, the more that he seemed to give away, the more God seemed to bless his company. I think there's a lesson for us, particularly in today's financial climate, that sometimes it's hard, isn't it, to contemplate giving. Perhaps we don't feel we have much to give back to God. But if we make that a principle of our lives, I believe God will honour us. I'm not trying to teach a prosperity gospel here. And prosperity gospel means, the more and more I do for God, then I should get rich and he should bless me beyond all measure. That's a falsehood that has kind of spread through churches. Just because you're generous to God, it doesn't mean that you're going to be to suddenly become rich. But I do believe that God will honour you if you give back to him what belongs to him. It didn't all go well for Colgate. He suffered a heart attack, and eventually, as all men, he died. But God was with him every step of the way. And eventually, I believe he went to meet Jesus, the King of Kings, who he served. In 1857, his son succeeded him, and the company continued to be successful. And later, as the century rolled on, the toothpaste market started. And first, people used to sell toothpaste in jars. It's hard to believe that, isn't it? You get a jar of toothpaste like you would a jar of jam. But then it was realised that it was better to have it in squeezable tubes, as we kind of have today. And today, Colgate has gone from this factory, which incidentally had the biggest clock ever in the world on it, to the modern kind of premises that we have today. Colgate joined with another soap manufacturer called Palmolive, you'll probably know of. So we end up with Colgate Palmolive, which is one of America's oldest, most successful companies. It has sales annually of £15 billion, all starting with this guy. And I think the success of Colgate is testimony to what God can do with somebody, who has skill and initiative, but who also commits everything to God, who chooses to do it God's way. The key thing, of course, was Colgate's coming to Christ and that continued relationship with him. And actually, I see some parallels in Colgate with my own dad, who built up his own business, not on the same scale. But God looked after Dad. Some things were equally key. Dad got up the first part of the day to read his Bible and pray to God. Dad always gave generously out of what God blessed him with. Dad used to go to trade exhibitions and he'd shut his stand on a Sunday while everybody else was taking orders. But God still blessed him. Dad never let his business so dominate his life that he didn't have time for God. He nearly always attended the midweek prayer meeting. He rarely missed a Sunday service. He found time in his working business life to prepare and teach in Sunday school. So nothing wrong with being a business. The two are not incompatible, being a Christian and living in the business world. But it's about being an example. To any of us who commits our way to Jesus today, I believe that God is promising not a prosperity gospel, not necessarily that we will be rich in this world, but he is promising that he will be with us every step of the way, his protection. I will keep you wherever you go. And his ultimate promise is not to take us back to Israel as he did with Jacob, but to be in his presence, to climb the ladder to glory, to see face to face Jesus Christ, that sacrifice for our sin. So my question to you on this harvest day is, what are you offering back to the God who gives you everything, who has given you so much? What will you offer him? A can of beans? A jar of coffee? Some money in the envelope, All of that is great, but actually what God is looking for is a commitment to him, a lifelong commitment, giving back to him radically out of the generosity that he has given you, choosing to live his way, to say, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. I want to tell you that he really is worth following, this Jesus. We're going to go on looking at him and his life and his character, but he really is worth investing our lives in, as William Colgate found out. Amen.